Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our current series of studies, Seven Reasons Why Christ Died. We have already seen that he died to fulfill prophecy. He died to save us from our sins. And with the help of the Lord today on the broadcast, we want to see the reason for his death and that he defeated Satan. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 there, speaking of our Lord Jesus. The whole chapter is about him. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. God himself became incarnate in human flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now we're going to come back to this verse. We're going to see something of the history of Satan, of the history of his fall, what he was, who he was. And then we will be able to appreciate this verse a little more. But here we have Christ becoming incarnate. Why? So he could die. He took a human body upon him. As God, he couldn't die. Our Lord Jesus Christ was God, and very man. But he took upon himself humanity that he might die, first of all, for our sins. We've already covered that subject. But then so much else is accomplished by his death that we must not forget these other details. And one of them certainly is that he defeated Satan by his death. He slew death by dying. Now that is so unreasonable when you think of it logically. But God triumphs over human logic, and God does his mighty work in Christ. Now we're going to think a little about Satan. I want to take you back into the Old Testament and see his history. And first of all, I'm going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll read there in that wonderful chapter, verses 12 to 18. Verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum of full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, the garden of God hadn't existed for millennia when this man came on the scene. Why is he addressed as the king of Tyrus? Well, the king of Tyrus was his dupe. You know, God has a way of doing things like that. He addresses him. He addresses him as also in Isaiah chapter 12. And there he's addressing the king of Babylon. But here he's addressing the king of Tyrus. And he is talking about Satan. I think this is cleared up when we think of the Lord employing the same device. In Matthew chapter 16, our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples that he's going to Jerusalem and he's going to be crucified and slain. And they cannot reconcile themselves to it. And we read in verse 22 of that 16th chapter of Matthew, Then Peter took Christ, and began to rebuke him, if you please, rebuking his Lord, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now he's talking to Peter, and he calls him Satan. You see, Satan had influenced Peter to make this statement. He influenced Peter to rebuke his Lord. He influenced the betrayer of our Lord Jesus, Jesus Iscariot. He influenced him to betray. He put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray his Lord. You know, we should be very careful about our thoughts. Sometimes I think that we think, and especially it would be so, when we think of that we've thought of something really brilliant and we take pride in it. Well, who's the father of pride? It's Satan. We have got to be careful that we are not subject to his devices. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And in Corinthians, we're told to watch every thought. Where does the thought come from? Where did this thought come from? From Peter. Well, it came from Satan. And here, the king of Tyrus is being addressed in Ezekiel chapter 28, but it's about Satan. Let's go on and read about it, and you'll see it very soon. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis and the topaz, and the diamond and the beryl and the onyx and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Well, now, the king of Tyrus wasn't created. Satan was. Satan was a created spirit, created angel. As a matter of fact, you'll see that in just a moment. He was the anointed cherub. And he was created, but not the king of Tyrus, but he's addressing these remarks, Ezekiel, to the king of Tyrus. But Satan is right there with him, and the words apply to Satan, as you'll see. Thou hast been in Eden, and we've just read it. Now look in verse 14, if you're following me, and perhaps it might be well if you were. Thou art the anointed cherub. Well, that wasn't true of the king of Tyrus. A cherub is an angel. Listen, please. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones. Thou wast perfect in thy ways until thou wast created. Here again is the word created, and that was not true of the king of Tyrus. He was born. He was a man. Satan was created. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst. They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Well, now, he didn't have to cast the king of Tyrus out of the mountain of God. Satan was cast out of the mountain of God. We'll read this in Isaiah in a moment. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Sometimes Satan is pictured as a creature with horns and a forked tail. No, he's not. He was a beautiful angel. Beautiful angel. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Now we'll just go on to Isaiah and read there continue our description of the fall of Satan. In Isaiah chapter 12, we read these words, how art thou fallen from heaven? And incidentally, these words were directed to the beast, or the champion of the Babylonian Empire in those days to come. It's a prophetic view of the days to come. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider, saying, is this the man? You see, they say talking about the king of Babylon, but the address is to Satan. Now, he sinned in that he had inordinate ambitions, and he took a place that God was not pleased to give him, and he took it on his own volition. As we read there in Isaiah, he was proud. He was beautiful. And so sin entered the universe with the words, I will. I will, not what God wills, but what I will. And there's five times he uses that phrase, I will. And the last time is that he sets his throne above the stars of God. Unholy ambition. Well, he was cast out of heaven. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And so it is that he was cast out of heaven. Now, this is the creature, Satan. He was cast out of heaven. Now, when he saw Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he knew that God had something big for those people. Adam was the Lord of creation. Satan was angry. He wanted to be the Lord of creation. He was jealous. And he caused them to fall through pride? Yes. The same kind of pride that he had. They saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to look at. But a tree to make one wise. They wanted that. They got it. But they got death. Now here, this is the Satan that caused the mischief in the human family that brought sin into the universe. And he had the power of death. And he caused Adam and Eve to die. He caused the children of Job to die. First chapter of Job, read it. He killed them. He killed them with a tornado, with a wind out of the wilderness. He had the power of death. But Christ died on the cross and took that power away from him. He died for your sins and for mine. But he did more than that. He died to defeat Satan. And Satan was defeated by his death. He was subject to God. Satan was not. Satan was, indeed, he was so ambitious. But Christ was subservient to his Father. He says, I always do those things that please the Father. Now he conquered Satan by submitting to his Father's will. And then he rose from the dead. Ah, there's the secret. He conquered death by dying. And then he rose from the dead. Now Satan may be able to produce death, and he is producing spiritual death in people in the world today. We read in the scriptures, if our gospel be hid, it is hid in them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's his business in the world today. Blind people to their need of Christ. And I hope that those who listen to this broadcast will realize that Christ has conquered him, and they will not listen to his suggestions. Our Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that this series of meetings about Christ and his death will result in glory to God and to salvation to those who trust in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.